Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 245, and it's what you've all been waiting for. It's the return of the drunk cast. It got messy, I'm not going to lie. We decided this year, as we hadn't released any drunk casts, we decided to return to the original drunk cast. The original end of year drunk cast was me, Stu and Chris. And at that point, Stu and Chris had never done any podcasts, and I just, because over Christmas, I don't like to miss weeks, but equally a lot of people aren't listening to podcasts over Christmas, so the original concern was any guests I put in there might get ignored or overlooked. So I thought I'd do these stupid throwaway ones with my mates, just looking at the year and doing an end of year roundup, and they became some of the most popular episodes I've ever done. A lot of people listen over Christmas, a lot of people return to work and have all the drunk casts to listen to. So yeah, there's a lot of options. I'll tell you how they're going to be going out. They're going to be going out today, part one, on December 19th. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you part two, because a lot of you are still at work. But then you're going to be winding down. So part three will be coming out on Boxing Day, which is a Wednesday. And part four, yes, there's four parts of this drunken mess. You know it's going to get sloppy. Will come out on January 2nd. So that's the release order for you all. I'm giving you two at once, and then I'm making you wait. I'm being a right old tease. Part one is, I mean, all four of these, it's one of my favourite drunk casts that we've done. It's probably the least nasty we are with each other, but there's tons of humour still and a bit of mockery, but it's just some really, it's one of the most emotional ones we've done for sure. I won't ramble on too much, as there's four parts. Obviously, Christmas is coming up. In fact, when you hear this, it's probably too late to order stuff in time for Christmas from my web store. You might have one or two days, but speechdevelopmentrecords.com has got some great stuff. I was trying to get this new bit of merch out for Christmas. I've been working on it since literally August. I've been going back and forth with designers, with manufacturers, because it's another thing that we're making bespoke. Because it's really exciting and really good, but we're not going to have it until the new year, I don't think. So keep an eye out for that in the new year. That's about it on that. Oh, I'm going to come back at the end, because we talk a little bit about Patreon in this episode, patreon.com/RubiusPip. And there was a quandary I wanted to put to the boys that genuinely I've not been able to figure out. I've been thinking about it for 2 or 3 months now, and I can't figure out the answer. And I forgot to put it to the lads. So I'll put it to you guys at the end. And if any of you can come up with a solution, then hit me up on @ScroobiusPipio, etc., etc. So yeah, here we go. The usual warnings apply. We are getting very drunk. We will probably say some quite offensive things, but it's all in good spirit and goodwill to all men. This is episode 245 of the Distraction Pieces podcast, the return of the drunk cast. Right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast. It's the drunk cast. That's me opening a bottle of Pepsi Max. It's the end of year Christmas drunk cast. We've not done a drunk cast yet this year, which is crazy. Or we did one that wasn't released. We'll get round to that. Brought to you, as ever, by speechdevelopmentrecords.com. I'll probably do an intro anyway, because I normally have to do one as a warning. So let's just... I guess we'll probably drop the music now and jump into the podcast. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, I'm with Chris and Stu.
Hello.
Where are you going, guys?
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
This is our first one in ages, isn't it, really? Because we did one in here earlier this year that never got released.
Yep.
But other than that, it was the last Christmas end of year one.
Which was amazing.
That's the one where you had a few poos in a golf club on the way home.
The one where I had a poo in a bush on the way home, yeah. Yep.
Do you want to go into that a lot?
Is it more embarrassing that your mum was there driving you and had to witness that?
I mean...
Or less?
I think she was the saviour of it all, really. I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. That's right, mate. So I'm making everyone a Scroobius. And you'll notice I'm making everyone a Scroobius. Oh, no.
I've put some energy, drink in yours.
But the reason, again, I feel like, I don't know where to start or go with any of this, because we've recorded a whole 3 hours of Drunkcast that never got released... Yeah. We'll talk later on about Stu's birthday, which we all went away for.
God, yeah.
But when we were away for that, Chris has always been a Scroobius naysayer.
Yeah.
And Stu had been won over. It'd be a naysayer on the podcast, and then at the club night, it'd be like, oh, let's have a Scroobius.
Yeah.
Can I just say, the reason being why I'm a naysayer is because it's a terrible combination. Diet, like Pepsi Max and gin...
It's brilliant.
It's a terrible idea. And the fact that Stu was suddenly on your team, he's just put a nice gin and poured Monster Energy drink in there. So I've got no, I don't need to. I'll rest my case.
But that's quite fair, I guess. But what did happen is while we were away, I had a Slingsbury rhubarb gin.
Mm.
And it was annoying for me because I'm not a big beer drinker. So everyone bought tons of beers. It was a load of us all went to a cottage, and we'll talk about it in greater detail, but all I bought was my Pepsi Max and my gin.
And a pair of pants.
And a pair of pants. One pair of pants. We were there for 3 days.
And some cable ties.
And a balaclava. And everyone was like, oh, this rhubarb gin with Pepsi Max is amazing.
Really?
So I was having to make everyone a Scroobius, and then it's like, all right, so no one's touching their beers. Everyone's getting through my gin, but because of that, I hit Slingsbury up, and they... sorted me out some more for this drunk cast.
I hooked you up, and I must say, this works.
It's good, isn't it?
As a flavour combination, I'm outstanding by this. I can give it my seal of approval.
It's pretty exciting, so I'm pleased to have that new variation of the Scroobius on Chris's accepted list.
Yeah, did you give it a different name or anything? Was it a Scroobius 2018?
I called it a Scroobius 2018. But we're kind of announcing it at the end of 2018, so maybe it's the 2019. Let's call it a Scroobius 2019. And this year it's been tested.
Yeah.
And now it's ready now it's ready to launch.
None of us got cancer after drinking it. We've given it 6 months.
Stu's birthday party was the beta launch.
And
now it's been fully tested. We had a few hiccups on the last Drunkcast when it had its second beta testing, and we literally couldn't release the podcast because it was so offensive.
We learned what the downsides of consuming too much of it can be.
And we'll go into the reason that Justin isn't here for this one later on. But
he's a very naughty boy.
He's been banned already.
But what we're going to talk about on this podcast, we normally give a bit of a run through. I've noted we are lizards. I want to talk about Kevin Hart and James Gunn, who both this year have had stuff change because of tweets that were really old. I want to talk about you guys and your New Year's resolutions, because I've had a lot of people ask me about it, and people forget that it wasn't on a drunk cast that it was discussed. Yeah. It was on your end of year half of wisdom, wasn't it? But we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of lizards, I want to talk about a visitor that we had at the last Lizards, which was
man.
Hugely exciting for all of us.
Amazing.
Brett Goldstein's hashtag problems is going to be my highlight of this whole drunk cast.
I'm so looking forward to this, because where was we the other day? We're at Acast. And they mentioned it, and you went, no, hang on, shush, because I didn't know about it.
Because, I don't think either of you know about that.
Well, no, because I said to you, Chris, didn't I? I went, he's found something that's meant to be really, like, that he won't tell me that he's holding back about Brett. Oh, so I'm looking forward to that.
And it was the buzz of Acast as well when we were in there. I want to talk about Ross from Friends. There's a good reason. The reputation I have at Press Junkets, which I only found out a couple of Press Junkets ago, and it's not that complimentary.
Not positive.
An insult I came up with for Stu on a group message a few months back, which we loved, but I've not mentioned since because I told it to Amy Ballman and she added to it. So I've got just the double insults of Stu.
Charming.
Looking forward to that one, Chris.
Chris is hopefully going to talk about a fractional reserve banking. Trump and Brexit, the missed drunk cast, the gift I got for my brother for his birthday, music from this year, MMA fights and some boxing, podcasts, films, TV. And that's kind of about... Oh, and...
Chrissy Spoken Crop.
Oh, we're going to get to that, obviously.
Right.
Stu DJing in Dartford.
Yes.
Our little VR session. Because we've not talked about that. We talked about it on the drunk cast.
Oh, right.
After Stu had left and while Justin was drunk saying, let's just talk about birds, though. And just saying really offensive stuff and it never got released. So there's kind of a lot to talk about. And I've got you Christmas presents. But let's before we get to Christmas presents... Mm. Stu, this year, how's your willy been?
Do you know what? It's been... I would say my knob in 2018 was very similar to what my penis was in 2017.
Yeah.
Which is kind of quite old, part worn, yeah, if part I had to describe it.
Part worn.
Chris?
Chris, how's your willy been?
My penile health has been... We've gone straight into this. I'd rather the presents.
Oh, mate, that's a gift that keeps giving this story.
I'd say parts worn.
Parts overworn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, been, yeah, not been great.
So you've had some willy problems.
I had some dick problems.
Do you want to go straight into it, or would you rather hold it for later?
Let's have a few drinks, shall we? Before we go into Ball Bag Carpaccio part two.
Well, let's start with a Christmas present then. Mm. I'm wearing the Christmas present that Chris made me last year. Mm-hmm. I did have the bullshit bell. I think it's in the... I did bring it in. That's the gift that Stu got me last year.
Hey.
And I've got you two a present. So I'll start with Chris,
thank
I think.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
There you go.
He's not going to jump in. I'm eating a risotto whilst recording. I drop it in there.
And we have proper rushed into this podcast because old man Stu once again was like, I'm booking a cab now.
Oh, and what time should I get a cab? 9 o'clock?
He genuinely said 9:30 at first. The wild debauchery that you know to be the drunk cast. And he's like 9:30.
9:30?
Wow.
Oh, right. That is amazing. If it's just this, I'll be over the moon.
It's not
just look at the craftsmanship on that.
So it's a nice little wooden box.
It's a wooden box. A really lovely wooden box. What sort of... Is that teak?
I don't know.
Do you know your wood, Stu?
No.
It's kind of... It's reddy brown.
Reddy brown.
It matches your top, actually.
Thank you. Very Christmassy. And shall I open it?
Open it, yeah.
Okay. What's inside? I'm really excited about this, because I love the box. Really am outstanding by the box. Oh, look at that. Some dice. Brilliant. Oh, I'm absolutely made up.
But they've got...
What?
Got tiny little skulls in them. It's a set of D6s, me and Chris know them as.
What are they?
Because we're both gamers
Dungeons
now.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, we're board gamers.
Because we're board gamers now, so he always refers to them as D6s, mm-hmm. So I'm now in...
He finally gets the D12 joke I've been saying for the last 12 years. I can't open these, but I'm too excited. I might have to just whip them open.
If you want. You can open it the other end, it's not sealed. I undid that one for you.
Okay. These are amazing, mate. Yes.
So basically, each number, so on the number one side, it's got one skull in there, then the two has got two little skulls.
Really super cool.
And was the first time I've fallen victim to Instagram advertising.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, they have advertised on Instagram now. I always scroll past that shit, and they came up. I was like, oh, they're a bit good.
Oh, they're well good. Let's give them a little test roll. Let's see how lucky they are. A solid five. I'll take that.
And what I thought is, you can keep some little figures in the box as well. If you've got any good figures that you like, or little teams. Because me and you have had a few different days of board gaming. In this room, actually.
Yeah, we've played. Yeah, we have.
A Robin came round
came round and played a game Robin brought round. And it just involved you just constantly dying,
died. Like, the first move I made put me into a dungeon. So each, I'd have to wait 20 minutes for it to come around to my go. I'd roll it and it'd be like, swarm of rats. take a bit of life off every go. And then it'd just be, it was constant.
Then it was swarm of bats.
Literally, every go I had, it was just, you're just dying more and more. But I ended up enjoying it because Chris and Robin were doing a lot better. And then Chris was smashing it, and then on his last goal, he just did something that just killed him straight away.
Yeah,
one go. So it was like, yes, everyone. The joke had been that every time it comes around to my go, it's like zombies have turned up.
That's literally, I was like, oh, fucking all great.
All mine was constantly like, you found a pot of gold. You found the best armour. I was like, yeah, got like 1 foot away from the entrance. He's like, brilliant. You found a dragon.
He literally almost, because you had to go into these caves or whatever, get the gold and leave again. And if you fall into the dungeon, you're in some shit. But Chris had got in, he'd got his stuff, he was on his way out, and literally on the, just before the door, it just went, rolled. It's like, you're dead. It was so annoying.
Annoying.
But that was literally 4 hours of... It was a good 3-4 hours, wasn't it?
But it was, tear inducing. That's lovely, mate. I'm really chuffed with those dice. Pass it over to Stu so I can give it a little test roll. Get himself ready for that Dungeons & Dragons game that we'll one day play, and I'll shave all my head off.
Yeah, they're mega.
You're all right, aren't
they? What do you get? 4. Oh, that's all right.
You see, the thing is, though, everyone talks about targeted advertising and all that. Since I bought them, and it got to kind of know the stuff I've into, I've bought like three things off target advertising, really? But they've all been really good things. It's been things I wanted, so it's kind of nice. I got a jacket from Japan I really liked, and then
a fridge warmer.
I got these stupidly good like a sleeping eye mask for sleeping, so it's all padded. But it's because, as we'll get onto, I regularly stay up till 6-7 o'clock for UFC, so I need a good sleeping mask for then sleeping past sunrise.
Can't you just shut your eyes?
Yeah, but I'm quite a light sleeper.
Just knock one out?
I'm genuinely on tours.
I stay over here quite a lot. I shouldn't have fessed up to that.
When you're getting a cab home tonight, yeah? I've genuinely on tours before. Like when I was at my worst of light sensitivity, I've genuinely taken the duvet and slept in the bath in hotels before.
I really
brightness, it's that stress of being on tour and knowing you've only got a certain amount of time, so I think it's part psychological. Like, as you know, I get a lot of insomnia and stuff anyway, but a lot of light stuff, and there'd be points either I'd be like I'd be taping curtains against the wall and stuff like that in the hotels like a maniac, or I'd go and sleep in the bath. It's quite disturbing.
I once woke up in a bath. That's a Craig story. Maybe I'll tell you that another time.
Let's save a Craig story for later. So Stu,
thank you very much,
over to you now.
So is this going to be in reference to my age?
Is it all of you, like? Because it is Christmas.
Emotional. Oh, man, I am really, really fucking excited about that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
They're all right, aren't they?
Fucking brilliant.
She's
got me two mini... You know the Queen's Guards that stand outside the house? he's bought me two microphone covers... with Off the Beaten Track written on them. That's fucking amazing.
They're all right, aren't they? All pro. Now, I do, because they're meant to take like 3 weeks to get made, and I made them rush it in a week because I said I'd give them a plug. So what's their name? Is it Event Media?
The Event Media Group, yeah.
Yeah, and they're in Holland. And yeah, they just print small runs or whatever of anything on microphones and stuff like that, on little mic... wind cover things, the soft things.
They look amazing.
Because you've recently set up your... Dex room as your radio room, and you've been doing tons of stuff to have your Off the Beaten Track radio show and podcast.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. That's amazing.
When you said small runs, have you got another 300 of them?
Yeah, don't get too excited about next year's present.
When's your birthday? Two more. Anyway.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. Well, listen, I didn't actually get you guys' presents.
Yeah.
But our buddy Gary Mansfield, who does the face value art auction for the Katie Piper Foundation.
And me and Riker collaborated on that this year.
You collabed on that, didn't you? And made a nice little piece of work. And they do well, Gary does really well getting artists to collaborate each year on face value.
Mizog Art, yeah.
Well, hey, I got a few things in the post the other day. Thanks, Gary. I haven't sent you a text message yet because I'm a lazy shit. And also, it woke me up. So I wasn't that happy.
Because you're working nights now. I'm working nights. Again, we'll go into all of this stuff.
Yeah. So here you go. This is Gary. Gary's got written 4 pip on this, mate. So you can have a little look at that. It comes in a pizza box.
You've repurposed someone else's gift. That's
clever, isn't it?
Very slick. Oh, nice. So it's like a barbed wire star. It's amazing, I love it.
There's a bit of you, that, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's really nice. Oh, and is that the stand for it, I assume? So, yeah, to describe it, it's a star made of, like, black barbed wire. So it's a bit Christmassy.
It's Christmassy, but it's got that dark you know, if you was going to be a poet who rapped a lot about, you know, revenge suicide and that.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
You're totally welcome. It was all me. And Stu, this wasn't an afterthought at all. But when we nipped in the petrol station earlier to get some ice, I did see a lovely Andy's Amazing Adventures for Little Explorers, and it's a paint and play with dinosaurs.
So I take it this is kind of, obviously you know that we've discussed top five dinosaurs on Hard Listening with Jess Megan.
Yep.
You got all excited about that. you know, I'm not as excited about dinosaurs as yourself or Jess, but I believe maybe on that episode it did come to light that I confess that I sometimes like painting soldiers.
Yes. Yeah. It did come to light.
So not only is there two plain white dinosaurs on the front cover of that, there's also a little pot of paint.
Yeah.
And so, a brush.
So have fun with that, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't want to find it in your bin when I come over.
It won't be in there, mate.
It's like when David, a Lynch fan's backward engineer meaning into all the weird shit he puts in his film. So Chris has just picked something up off of that he's seen on Saturday. But so on episode 57, yeah. I remember I mentioned this, and that's really nice. It's really meaningful.
So thoughtful, Chris. When Pip saw me in the petrol station, go, oh, look at that.
Oh, look, dinosaur. How much is it? I can't find the price. It was under his thumb. Genuinely, he was looking for ages. Like, just move your thumb there, mate.
That guy in the petrol station liked my little snide comment about the server, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. She had like a little earpiece in a microphone.
The one in there was really aggressive to you, though. What are we see?
Yeah.
Jesus.
In the BP in Basildon, she really wanted to know if I wanted a receipt.
You can't show weakness in the BP in Basildon,
yeah, guys. And I didn't want a receipt. If these pop chips aren't up to standard, I'll take the hit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be returning them with proof of purchase.
Well, thanks, guys. Stu, what have you got for us, mate?
Nothing.
Cheers.
You absolute prick. So where should we begin? Podcast stuff? As it has been for you guys?
It's been funny, isn't it?
You've had some cracking ones, haven't you?
It's mental, like how many we've put out this year. Obviously, you do one a week, but now what with Patreon too?
Yeah. So, let's talk about that a little bit, because when we recorded the drunk cast that wasn't released, we talked a lot about your Patreon, and at that point, I was still not really feeling Patreon, so I didn't have one, and I've got one now, so it's kind of it's a new world. So how's that been for you? Because on your Patreon, you put out a bonus episode each week that's you two doing a top five selected by
the Patreon.
So it's patrons.
It's been fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's a little bit tough with, you know, the fact that Chris and I both got proper jobs.
Yeah.
So sometimes, because Chris works different shifts to what I work, so literally some weeks it's like he'll pop into the car park where I work and we'll sit in my lunch break and record the episode in the car. So it's...
And the windows will start steaming up.
Yeah, it looks quite odd. But in fairness, we get some of the best ones, I think, in them sort of situations when it's just me and him just chatting nonsense to each other.
So if you want to leave now, just let us
We've got this.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I find, I'm sure I've mentioned before, when I drift on and off of podcasts all the time, but with the fighter and the kid, if I'm on a regular listening run, if there's three episodes to choose from and there's the two of them on their own or a guest I've not really heard of, I'll go for the two of them on their own because I want to just hear that that interaction. They're the people I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
And it's always good to hear the other guests and that as well. I think that's been a nice
thing. You can't be rude to each other as much when another guest is there. Sometimes you can. Completely. Like, I think, say, when we had Ricky on, not that long ago. Ricky Hall we had on.
He was doing his top five pick-a-mix snacks, wasn't it, specifically?
The Bants, we could be a bit more, because he's probably a bit more rough and tumble.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, you know, we did a PTSD 999 special the other week.
Before we go into that, going back to Ricky's one, as much as we were having what I guess a lot of people expect from us with you know, a bit of nonsense bants and whatnot, Ricky went pretty deep as well, didn't he? You know, talking about, you know, recovering from alcohol addiction and drug addiction and talking about almost sex addiction. Like, it was...
Mate, like him going deep is the appropriate thing because I really enjoyed it. Yeah. But honestly, I think I was talking to B, who'd listened to it as well, and I was like, I really enjoyed the Hardcore Listening advert to sleep with Ricky Hall.
That's exactly what I was
going to say. He's going, I've had drug addiction, I've had sex addiction. He's like, I'm knocking it on the head. He's like, well, I'm knocking the drugs and drinking on the head because it's you shouldn't do too much at once. So I'm still going for the sex.
One thing at a time, and my Snapchat is...
Sexy Instagram model icon, Ricky Hall. I've got a real problem with sex, alcohol, and drugs, so I'm stopping the alcohol and drugs. But
what's good is... And then at the end of the podcast, we always say, Ricky, is it all right if we take you in any adverts for this podcast? He was like, yes.
Yeah. I loved it.
He was great with that sort of like the promo of it. And, absolutely. But he was saying that Gary as well. Yeah, I mean, like, so with Ricky, you could be a bit ruder and stuff like that, and he doesn't mind. He's got thick skin, so it's all right. You can all take the piss out of each other. When we did the PTSD one, which was one of my favourites of the year, it was less. You couldn't go fall into bants, and I guess so. My point being that when it's just me and you, there's no one else there, so we don't have to worry so much. So that's the good thing about Patreon.
That's what's a bit nice, seeing the kind of development of hardcore listing, though. Of at first, it was. A drunk cast with a theme.
Yeah.
It was essentially, we're just going to get pissed, but here's a top five we're going to do as well.
Definitely getting smashed. And now,
now there's hardly any that you have a drink on. And again, it's nice that when you do the Love Beer ones, have we mentioned Love Beer on this bit? I know we did on the Instagram. So a Love Beer is one of your sponsors. He's hooked you up with loads of good beers for tonight. And Love Beer does kegs and hooking up.
Bar fit outs, but also
sells packs of beers and stuff like that every now and then. So
you can get a hardcore listing pack of beer on his website.
Christmas Bangers is the new one, and we're going to tuck into them in a little bit.
But yes, so you have them ones where it's you, Charles from Love Beer, and sometimes Justin, all trying out beers, once. Getting drunk. But then you have ones like that, the PTSD.
Yeah.
999 one, and that was just...
We barely spoke, right?
It was hugely powerful and emotional one, wasn't it? It was really...
I think we'll do more of them in the new year.
Definitely. You know, it's, I think...
we haven't discussed it. A superhero one.
Yeah, well...
You know, it was similar in that way. It was like, we're kind of tagging a top five on this. Yeah. That's not the point. It's finding the balance.
It's not the point. And the Jackson superhero thing was... it was a friend of mine, you know, and unfortunately, you know, Chris was dealing with some stuff, like some personal stuff, so I couldn't actually be there. And it was like, well, look, I'm going to do this one anyway. And I think it was quite a popular episode because it's an amazing story about, you know, an amazing dad doing something for his terminally ill son.
Give us a quick kind of... rundown of it. He wrote, released these comic books.
Jackson is a young lad, and I think when he was nearly one, I think they diagnosed that he's got an illness, which I think maybe like one in, I think he might be one of three in the UK with it. I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but it's a very rare illness, and then Jackson's sort of mobility and stuff has started to deteriorate, And unfortunately, he's a life-limiting illness. And his dad, Darren's, like, you know, been a mate of mine for many years. And he knew that Jackson couldn't sort of really move. He can't walk. And so it was like, well, in his dreams, does he walk? Does he talk? And stuff like that. So Darren decided to write, you know, a book about Jackson, that when he goes to bed, when he dreams, he can fly and he can... run and talk, and he becomes a superhero. And it's amazing. Like, I think, you know, Jackson's story's been picked up by so many people. Russell Brand come to Grays and done a show, come back to his hometown and done a show for Jackson. And it's just been brilliant. It's, you know, it's smashed it on the Amazon chart and you know,
he's doing a few of them, isn't he?
Yeah,
because it was beautiful how he put it as well, that it's as much for the parents as it is for the kids in many ways, because to be a parent and have your child going through something like that, and knowing that you can't have that usual thing of a parent of going, oh, he might be a footballer when he gets older, or he might be this, or he might be that, but to be able to go, well, when he goes to sleep, he can be, he is that, like in his, when he dreams, he can live all of those things, and that's the kind of the basis of the Jackson superhero books, of that, he goes to sleep and becomes this. I mean, superhero, and it can be anything. It can be
flying, it could be playing football, it can be a singer. Like, there's so many variations he can go down of different things that he can become in his dreams.
From what it seems, you know, there was lots more copies of the book sold after that come out as well. So it all helps. Do you know what I mean?
It was
lovely, like, to be able to help Dale and you know, raise some money for his family.
So what other ones have been some favourites that stand out? I think the Ricky Hall ones are great shout. I'm now going like more light ones. The two heavy ones I've highlighted.
Maybe, I don't know if you agree with me on this, Chris, but Billy Lunn from the Subways
was one of my favourites.
Yeah, he really committed with his whole Monty Python Life of Brian quotes. And he went in, he'd scrubbed up and he'd written out. He hadn't even just printed it from Google or something. He'd written out all the lines. And he was doing 2-3 minute soliloquies, like acting out these things.
I loved it initially, being like, do you mind if I act it out? So good. Go ahead, mate.
Like, you brilliant.
Like, as if, brilliant. I love the fact he'd written all out and wasn't sure if it'd even be allowed to.
Billy, because I used to go to see the Subways and whatnot and love their music, you know. And it's mad to then be able to have the opportunity to record a podcast. And I wouldn't have. He's such a rocket. Like, when you watch the Subways, they're so, like, in your face rock and roll. Yeah. You'd never. It's weird because you do accidentally sort of typecast people and whatnot.
Yeah,
and I guess I wouldn't have expected something like someone quite as intelligent and articulate as Billy is, you know.
And that's
wicked. And it's cool, like, you know, we follow him on Facebook and that, and, you know, around the shops and stuff. But he's a really nice guy. So that was a great one. Alex Fox, top five weird sex toys, was a great one.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I ended up.
Alex is a character.
That ended up educating me a lot ahead of one that I had, because I had Dr. Kate Devlin on, who's got a book called Turned On, and it's about sex, robots, and AI, and sex toys, and all the crossover.
Was there any, like, discount codes at the end of that one?
There was, but...
Cybopip.
There was stuff in her book that I'd heard about because Alex was like... So there's these tentacle toys and stuff like that. There's all these weird sex toys that she spoke about that I was like, oh, I know about these things. And then when we're having the conversation, I look like I'm some sex toy expert. Yeah. But, yeah.
I think the other highlight for me would be we've done a podcast with a comedian. I fell in love this year.
With your best mate.
So I met a comedian called Rich Wilson.
Yeah.
We've been going steady ever since. It's been... the start of a beautiful
When's
romance.
Carol moving out, mate?
I'm not sure.
Is she going with the kids or...?
I think she'll take the kids. I think me and Rich need our space.
It was one of my favourites because exactly that, it did seem like it was just one of your mates. I loved that he'd listened to the podcast and knew where the radiator was.
That was brilliant. He was like, no, I know where it is. The button's behind me, isn't it? I'll turn the radiator off.
I loved it. But I listened to that when I took myself away to Portugal for a week to get some writing done. I had a script I needed to submit an edit on and a book I was working on. So I was kind of off comms and I was walking around listening to it, and there was two or three times I got furious at stuff that you were getting wrong. And then when I came back on comms, I had messages from Brett Goldstein saying all the film references and stuff that you'd got wrong, which was then turned into a joke on the Off the Beaten Track episode that Rich was on. He's like, oh, sorry, Brett, I might have got that wrong. I can't even remember what any of them were, but there was numerous ones. I'm like, oh, he's in that. It's like, no. Oh, there was the main one was James Acaster being...
No, that one on Rich's one, was it?
It was.
Was it?
Yeah, because he was like...
Rich knows it really well.
Yeah, that's it, because Rich didn't confirm, because you were like, oh, James Acaster, he's got a massive podcast. At that point, he didn't. So Stu was the one going, he's got a massive podcast, and Chris goes, I think he's, like, behind Acast. And he wasn't joking.
Oh, what a pair of bricks.
You've literally met everyone at Acast. You've been with them for a year at that point.
I'm literally, like, so bad. Are you serious? Even when someone said it wasn't, I skeptically believed that they were telling me the truth. I was like, well, you're talking about, like, guesswork and stuff like that.
That's what happens when both me and you roll with guesswork. Shit. It just goes bad.
And that's one of my favourite memes that you've done for promoting us this year, is your guesswork is work, which is a play on the sex work is work.
Yeah. I was listening to that episode and just instantly I was like, oh, that's so easy. I can just make that guesswork is work. It's still real work, damn it.
But I kind of like the guesswork. Obviously, I love guesswork, but I like the fact that, you know, if you want facts and if you want, it's not like fake news. It's just approximations that we give.
There's loads of factual websites, right?
Yeah, if you want to go and do that, what's your 9 o'clock news? Or probably not even on that. But if you want some approximate information about something that we might be wrong, you can take it or leave it.
Acaster, probably.
If we ain't got the answers, we'll pluck something out of the air. Don't you worry.
I love we it.
Have an answer for everything.
Not based on anything. It's the confidence with which you all come in with all of these things. I genuinely was doubting myself, even though it was on the episode that Carol was on the horror episode, which right. was a really
oh,
good one.
Yeah, great.
But the confidence with which you were all talking about legendary horror director Wes Anderson, I was like, yeah. I've seen every Wes Anderson film. I'm a fan of Wes Anderson. Yeah. The second ever... Goddaughter of Fancy Dress Day Out was Life Aquatic, which yeah. is a Wes Anderson film. Yeah. I had Rushmore on video, yeah. all these things. And I'm sitting thinking, who am I thinking of? Am I thinking of someone else who obviously knows? But you all just had such confidence in it.
What it was is, well, we know I famously mix up names.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah. Where's Anderson? Where's Craven? They just once yeah. you yeah. say it, oh God, I'm
yeah.
gone.
Before you say it, you're saying John Craven.
Right? John Craven. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, well, let's talk about the one you ended on last year, because you did a great year ender with Stu and Brad, who need a shout out because they've yeah. been really good in the kind of in doing a few Patreon episodes, as we've touched
in
upon.
Trenches.
Chris has had a few things this year that have pulled him away a bit. And those boys have stepped up a few times absolutely. And done some really good stuff. But they were on that one, and you set yourselves some New Year's resolutions that had penalties.
That's correct.
And they've never been mentioned again, have they?
Well,
is there a reason for that?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I said I'd lose a stone, and if not, I'd play Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
I didn't lose a stone, and I'll quite happily play Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Chris was more ambitious, but don't get me wrong, put slightly more on the line than a game of Dungeons & Dragons.
The best thing about that was listening, as you said, to that Jess Megan one a few months after that, where it turns out Stu quite likes painting his figures and all this kind of thing. It's like, what was seen as this big punishment? It was like, he'll probably quite enjoy that.
Oh, I don't think he's going to.
Whereas Chris was going to drink at the most 6 times in the this year.
Yeah.
And your penalty was going to be shaving your head.
Yeah.
How'd you get on, mate?
I did really good for the first 2 months.
That's a lie.
Sort of. And then I collapsed real bad. And then I think I was done by March, and I was like, oh no.
It's all gone.
So I will shave it off, but I did then take on all my back out excuses here are that I took on a new job. I didn't know how they'd be about it.
Yeah.
But I've been in that job now, 8 months?
Yeah.
So I need to do it. I need to get the courage up sometime in 2020.
I was discussing this the other day, I think, with Stu, and genuinely by pure chance, and this is going to be annoying because I'm such a smug prick, but by chance, tonight is my 6th time drinking this year.
No way! Such a way
because I had 3 lizards I had to drive to,
and
so that means I only drunk at 3,
yeah.
and we had the drunk cast that wasn't released, which is 4, and Stu's birthday, which is 5.
Right.
And then now is my 6th time, so... And I've lost a stone. So I've done both of your resolutions just by living my life. Just by living my life.
No, the opposite is you haven't been living a life. By not having a life.
By living my boring life.
By keeping track of everything.
Oh, dear.
Oh, mate,
and I've played dungeon games.
You have.
A review, so I've taken your punishment as well by choice.
Yeah.
Did it get to like August and you think, I've only had 5 drinks this year, I'm not going to drink for the rest of the year, just so I can have a 5-second smug moment on the end of the
you
year
would drunk
do
that. It was,
only the realisation on like, if it had been off, I would genuinely have found a reason to have not drunk at the last lizards. But because I had 3 where, I had one where I was driving off to the World's Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
One where Ian had dropped out, I drove, and one that I was staying, and things like that. So, just by chance, I'd got it. That I was at 4 in like beginning of November, and I was like, hello.
Well, you were both our ringer then for our New Year's Eve things.
Yeah, I took the hit.
This year, I'm going to eat my left testicle.
So have you got any plans of resolutions for this year? Are you doing any kind of end of year hardcore
listing? Yeah, so we put the shout out to to Brad and Stu maybe a week ago. Stu's in, not heard back from Brad yet. Brad's been a little bit off radar only the last month or so. I don't know what he's up to. I think we're going to try and involve maybe Bang Boom Creative,
get
one
Luke,
of our sponsors
get
as
Luke,
well.
He did
a really good episode as well.
Luke was on it, man. He did a great one. And he's just such a nice guy. Like the company he runs, Bang Boom Creative, he's a media company, does lots of film work and videos for a variety of different companies, like Children in Need and stuff like that. So it's amazing that he then wanted to, he works for Children in Need and then he wants to sponsor
and cheapen
his own brand by being at one of our sponsors. Mm. Yeah. So reluctantly sponsored by Bang Boom Creative. But yeah, no, it was wicked. And his episode was really good. It was TV, top five TV shows. Was
from
it?
The
80s,
wasn't it?
From the 80s, yeah. So.
80s. Proper. Yeah, cult TV shows, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought it was great. But it's been really good seeing how you guys have got your sponsors in that way and that they're adding to the episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like all part of it. And the Patreon, all that. And I started my Patreon that I'm now kind of... Originally, it was just going to be... I'm still keeping it as you. It's only £1 a month.
Mm.
But it was just going to be you can donate if you want. I'm not giving you anything extra. It's just if you want to chip in, then chip in. The podcasts are what it is. But I've started to really enjoy Patreon as a place, as a social media
chat
page.
To people.
Because it's not open is the thing that I think is good about it. You can talk, you know that everyone there knows what wavelength you're on. So you can talk openly and rationally.
Yeah.
And the problem on all the others is you can't. Because you'll say something and someone will take it out of context or... It'll be three tweets long and they'll only retweet one bit.
Yeah.
And you'll get all this outrage and uproar. And
we
kind of...
That chat, didn't we? Because you were saying that you like to groom... Sorry, talk on...
groom pets.
but yeah, I love it on there. And it's been really good. And I'm going to start doing... I was saying to Joe, I'm going to start doing either one or two a month of Patreon podcasts. Yeah. The thing I'm going to do is start at the beginning and pick... Do five episodes each... episode and just go through as a rewind of the podcast and just talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about who the guest was, what happened on that day.
Mm.
That's a great idea.
What's in there as a bit of a recap, because it's mad that I'm 240 or 50
crazy,
episodes in
man.
Now and it's been like 4 years or whatever it's been, 4.5 years. And it's like, it does, it's that weird thing of, and I feel comfortable saying it because it's because of the guest, but it does feel like there's episodes that are criminally overlooked because I've had some guests that aren't big names.
Yeah.
If you join now, you're not going to go back and go, oh, there's a name not heard. You might go back to Russell Brand or Alan Moore or one of these, but if you go in for names you don't recognise, it will normally be in the last month or two.
Yeah.
You're unlikely you're going to scroll all the way back. So I like the idea of doing, a rewind and going... Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's what it is.
I think that's a great idea.
I'm going to record
you're
that
gonna
in
the new
year.
You're not going to, like, because no one wants, like, our scummy pants. You're not going to put your pants up on there or anything like that?
Not yet. I wear them until they're gone.
Really?
Yeah. I don't buy a lot of new pants.
What point do you
I'm weird on my pants as well as I'm weird on my socks. I like pants that are black and that don't have any branding on.
Yeah, sure.
Surprisingly hard to find because like a lot of them will have
like
a little
Venus.
Bit at the front. Exactly. A little bit at the front or a little words along them and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
they will say.
Genuinely, my pants was a psychological choice many years ago because I'd read something about the power of decluttering your brain and your life. So taking unnecessary choices out of your life. So the fact that all my pants are the same... It might not be exciting for my missus, but it means that each morning I'm not going, oh, what pants shall I put on? Oh, what am I doing
fucking
today?
Genuinely, well, it is what Einstein did.
It's taking things that aren't necessary choices out, and it means you've got that freedom to think about more important things.
I'm going to open up some of these beers.
Yes.
No, I totally agree, mate. That's what Einstein did, so you can't really criticise that. I'm going to have a... I'm going to crack open one of these Xmas bangers, and I don't know what to go for.
What's the one that you love, Stu?
I'm going to go for the Blood Orange.
All right, your favourite, isn't it? Oh, mate, that is... Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5, that is.
There's another one in the...
Oh, amazing. Thanks, mate. Well, I'm going to do, as what I always do, is normally go for a shit-hot strong stout to start with. So I'm going to have a Domino White stout.
So thanks to Charles at Love Beer for this. And quick shout out to the One Mile End Brewery as well that produced the Blood Orange Wheat. DIPA?
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 DIPA. DIPA.
And also the Brass Castle Brewery that also were really nice and sent us down a bucket load of gear as well, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Not gear.
Beer. So while we're cracking beers open, shall we give some kind of explanation of the missing drunk cast?
I think we should.
Because we've not really touched upon it. I've touched upon it in brief and said online. It's just, I mean, it's there is no plan to release
just
it.
Just quickly. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Happy Christmas.
Bought glasses out for you.
Well, talking about the thing that we banned, I mean, we should say a simple way to summarise it is the high point was our discussion of...
Yeah, the two high points were generally, number one, when you go for a wee, are you a willy out the zip? Are you willy over the top of your belt?
Yep.
And all that kind of thing? Yeah. And all that. And the other high point was how'd you wipe your bum?
Do you stand up or sit down?
Stand up, kind of... Cock a leg, seated, all things
cock a leg, like a dog.
Unfortunately, you lot will never know what the consensus was.
Oh, that was exciting, was that we were so, it was genuinely very, we're saying it as a joke highlight, it was genuinely got us all excited because we had, because you assume, whatever you do, you assume that's what everyone does. And we just had a pool of four people and we didn't agree on any of them. I think there was a couple that we had rematched, but in general...
Some people's like were more extreme.
Yeah.
More fringe tactics being used.
But a few people talked about... And it's interesting because we're going to talk about kind of a censorship because... Kevin Hart just pulled out of hosting the Oscars because some tweets came out that he did years ago that were homophobic.
Right.
And James Gunn, of course, was pulled from all the Guardian stuff because of some old tweets that joked about paedophilia.
Yeah.
And they were from 11 years ago. And I think it's ridiculous. Yeah, I was kind of quite vocal online. I think it's dumb bullshit. It's stuff from 11 years ago when you're trying to be edgy. If I completely agree with if you've done something now, then I'm kind of, I think it's, or at least I think it's a greyer area. I can understand a company going, oh, we don't want that associated.
Yeah, no, totally.
All that kind of, like the stuff that happened with Roseanne Barr, which again came a bit of a, it became a bit of a public lynching, but. Sure.
Have you watched the Vice thing on her?
No,
as a result.
They've got an interviewed her.
Yeah.
Like, since.
I heard her on Rogan.
She's not in a good
place.
Oh, really?
She's done Rogan.
Yeah, she did Rogan after. And it was fascinating because you realise that she's got, from her teens, she's been put in mental health institutes and things like that. As she had an accident when she was younger and banged her head, and it's seen its strange stuff. But again, I still feel that what she said. Or what she tweeted was intentionally, as much as she denies it, and I think there can be overreaction. I didn't have an issue with that because it felt like the network reacted before there was too much backlash. So it felt like the network has said, right, we don't agree with that. It's not that we're, or not even that, it's not that we're, like constantly happens with Netflix and stuff like that, that people are protesting us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like they went, I don't want anything to do with that. And I think that's every business's choice.
Yeah,
it always annoys me when people are like, we're going to petition Glastonbury because Kanye's headlining. It's like, they're a private company. Mm. You can get a million votes on your petition and they don't have to do shit. Yeah. Mm. You fucking idiots. Everyone has their own individual choice. So I get that. But on these, on Kevin Hart and James Gunn, and both of them, on Kevin Hart at least, he chose to step down and apologise. But James Gunn, it was very much Disney's... A decision, or it seemed to be, and yeah, it's dumb because it's stuff from years ago.
I don't know the gun thing.
Well, so he'd done some tweets. He'd done a load of edgy tweets.
Who is it? Like, I don't even know who
he's a director.
Director of Guardians of the Galaxy,
right? Okay.
The writer and director. Okay. So he completely gave the whole superhero Marvel thing a new look because before that they were all essentially Avengers films.
Yeah,
it was all the same thing, and then Guardians came out. It was like nothing else. He's then overseen a lot of the other films and been a huge part of that. Mm. But he'd done some edgy tweets 11 years ago. It was 7 or 8 years ago. And again, it's when he's trying to be... It's the kind of stuff that you say when you're trying to be an edgy dude.
I won't read them out. They're not... I won't read them out.
Completely... He'd apologised about them 4 or 5 years ago. So it's... So it wasn't. It's something he'd already addressed, and they just they threw him under the bus and got rid of him. And it's mad because now I think he's doing. Is he doing one of the DC things?
Yeah.
So again, it's like
Suicide Squad 2, I think.
He's going to do amazing stuff there.
The thing about Suicide Squad is that is a wicked idea and franchise, and it even looked great. It was just really badly executed.
Yeah.
And now so they've got James Gunn behind
it. As the writer and director.
Yeah, that could turn that. Those kiddie fiddling tweets could be the best thing that ever happened to him, really. Or happened to Suicide DC, Squad.
Completely. So it's outrageous, but even with that in mind, I had a few people say, oh, why are you censoring the drunk cast that you aren't releasing? And I think there's nothing wrong with self-censorship.
No,
if
not.
We decide that when, even on the night, me and you, Chris, were like, I don't know if we can release that.
No.
And the next day, all of us kind of discussed it. We're like, no, I don't think we can. Because
really quickly as well, I think when we spoke straight away on WhatsApp, we were just like, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really like blue jokes and quite edgy stuff.
I laughed at everything on the night.
Same.
I laughed at everything on the night. Yeah, so it's that kind of thing. But it's not like it was well-crafted and well-written humour. Yeah. It was some silly stuff. Yeah. And the main thing, as we discuss, I joke about how Justin is the only person ever to, number one, record an episode of the Distraction Pieces podcast that's not released, and number two, be banned from the Distraction Pieces podcast before one's been released. But Justin was part of the reason, partly because he said some outrageous stuff. It was hilarious stuff. Yeah. But if either of you had said that, we maybe would have still released it and got away with it, because my listeners have got to know you over the years and know that we're all right.
Context and intent. If I'm saying something that I know is going to be awful, you can already see it in my eyes that I know it's not like, it's not a view I'm expressing. It's an attempt to rile. Do you see what I mean?
The episode when we were talking about, I think it was the Paris disaster, I think it might have been, or something that Stu had one where his a relative had died and you were in tears of laughter. And it's like, that's just mates, we've got the giggles. It's not meant with any a malicious intent, but because you know us. And my issue was the public didn't know Justin, or my listeners didn't know that Justin's a good bloke yet. So the first thing they hear is some pretty out there stuff. Yeah. But he'd got quite drunk quite quick because supposedly he'd been fasting.
No, he'd been doing the keto,
He joined the keto diet. And he drank a lot quick because it's his first.
He'd done a rummage, didn't he? So he put away a load of spice rum.
He started sprinting in a marathon.
And and that was it. As a completely new person,
he done a Romesh.
Not fair. Yeah, that's it. He done a Romesh, but Romesh is Romesh. Everyone knows him as this hilarious and good. So it's fine. So it was more that we felt it wasn't a good representation, because your bromance with Rich.
Yeah.
After our little weekend away for your birthday, I couldn't stop. Stop talking about Justin and Tony. I was like, they're the best. And Justin was telling some stories. I loved both of them. I'd not hung out with them before. And you know I'm not that social a person, so I'm generally like, new people, great. Mm-hmm. But genuinely, I came back, I was like, they had the best stories. They were just hilarious. They took the piss out of each other.
We were going away for a writing retreat.
Yeah, I was furious when we went for a curry. What? But so it's one of them. It was more. It was that. It's like, it's not an anti-Justin thing. It was just that wasn't the right introduction.
Absolutely.
As you said, Stu, he's like, when we're away, he's got the best stories of anyone I've ever heard.
And
his life has been insane. Yeah, his stories feel like they're bullshit, but they're true and wonderful.
Because if you ever hung out with Justin, you just know immediately.
Yeah.
And yet he's one of our favourites. He's a fan favourite on our episode.
Yeah.
Like whenever we say, who do you want back on? Big Papa J. Mr. Goldstein's often requested as well, but Big Papa Joe.
And that was it. He's been on yours a few times. And again, I'd urge people to go and listen to the episodes that have Big Papa Joe on. But the fact is, he started on yours sober and intelligent and then got there.
Well,
whereas on this one, it seemed off the bat, as soon as he was engaging, he was gone.
Well, what's
do you know what I mean?
What's going to be interesting is, we was going to do it next. We was going to do it last Sunday, but we didn't. We're going to do one in the new year with him and his wife.
Yep, brilliant.
Because I think you'll see a more browbeaten.
She'll keep him honest.
Yeah.
Mate, the first night that we were away, I had to have a word with Antonia, because everyone was drunk, but she got to the point of just bullying the shit out of him. Yep. Literally, it's like, any time he spoke, and it was when we were playing Trivial Pursuit. And again, it's all in love.
She slayed you all in one sentence. Because she was asking all the questions, and Justin went, why don't you let one of us ask some questions? And yous were all like, yeah. And she went, you've got a lisp, you've got a stutter, and you're too fucking loud. And I was like, whoa!
Spot on, spot on, you're right. You're right. But yeah, well, I think that'll be great. I look forward to hearing
the
that.
Musketeers of speech impediments.
So we should touch, as we're getting up to the, there we go, I'm stuttering now.
Can I just say as an aside, he did that, like that stuttering thing on the BBC.
Didn't stutter once, did he, prick?
All my mates were going, what a fraud.
Mate, it was genuinely mad to do, because it's the first time I've ever been doing anything on camera where it kind of helps if I do stutter. And there were a few takes I did stutter. I'm going to do a little bonus podcast about it, because it was genuinely a weird experience that I spend my life trying to repress it, even subconsciously.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I was like, kind of it'd be good if I don't, but I'm so used to trying to hold it in. You can't fake it as such.
What?
Yeah. So it was really, really weird to do, to kind of just go. And I was genuinely, if there was a take I stuttered on, we're ending, and I'm like, yes. Whereas normally I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm wasting everyone's time.
Yeah.
Particularly in acting and stuff like that. There's cameras, there's this. Ah. But in that situation, I was like, yes, I stuttered on that.
But the
one.
Thing is, mate, the thing is, I thought, like, the reason why you didn't stutter on that is because you, when you're having to say lines and stuff like that, and it's not just free speech, you will not stutter. It's like why you rap and, you know, your shows aren't shit, basically. But I also thought that was kind of genuine.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, because I know you.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to sit there and I saw you stuttering because you're on that, I'd be like, yeah, is that like... Because he knows it's, do you know what I mean? So I thought, I respected the fact that you didn't.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter. Like, you don't, just because you do, you've got this this speech impediment. Well, you've got to sell it on that. You've got to be like, hello, and it'd be a 12-minute epic, you know. They probably couldn't have afforded it if you went.
They wouldn't have got everyone else's story
BBC prime time.
But yeah, it was kind of mad. But on that, when I can't even remember where I was going. Oh, I was going to say we should talk about us going away for your birthday. Yeah. Because it was a good little...
It was great. And you know what? I was 45. And, 45, that's right. And so, yeah, we just decided that I'd kind of try and get, like, all of the people that I really like that I think would get on well together in one place. Yeah. So, obviously, I invited yous two. Yeah. And yous, which was quite weird, yous kind of come as a couple...
Yep. We shared a room. Did we share a room? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we nearly did, but didn't I then have to sleep outside? Because you had wandering hands or something like that.
No, we took it in turns to sleep on the sofa in the living room.
I can't remember why. What was the reason for that?
I don't know, but you were really annoyed because you slept on the sofa the first night and I had a terrible night's sleep in the bed.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, we've had a great night's sleep. And then the next night I slept on the sofa. I slept like a baby. It was beautiful.
So I should have just slept in the room on my own for two nights.
It was used to. It was Big Papa Jay and his missus and some friends that I met years ago on holiday, Mark and Sam.
Yeah.
And it was just, I just thought it was a really nice weekend. Everyone like kind of just got on really well. We'd done an escape room on the Saturday.
It was really
didn't
good fun, man. That was a tough one, Matt. That was tough. Yeah. You were actually, I hate to say it, but Pip was quite good in that escape room. Like, he like, not even on the brainy shit you'd expect, on the skill side. Yeah. But I'm like, hold my beer. I was struggling a little bit. Then Pip steps up and did this ridiculous, like, little trick.
Our big ending one. It was this thing with these... Like, you have to kind of roll a ball off one lever onto another, and you're turning these... Yeah. It's hard to explain, but you're turning these movable platforms, essentially, and you have to, in the end, flip it up onto the next one and balance it, and it has to go in this hole. And we'd had a load of goes, and we were trying, so you drop
we're
it, I'll control these two, so someone else do this. And then I went, I can't just have one go on my own.
Yeah.
And we dropped it, and on the first one, I'd hit it, and it just went straight up in the air, and then I volleyed it. It went over the four different... paddles and in the hole at the end. Hole, like that was our last thing. That was that was the
mic
game
drop.
Over.
Yeah. Any loser can win the lottery, but I was a little bit like, "Damn you!"
I had it's a weird one, but I had a similar thing in Margate. What's the big place in Margate? What's the big pleasure?
Fun, the beach.
Yeah. No, the big. What's it called?
The sea. The bigger thing. The sea.
Dreamland.
Dreamland.
I did
Dreamland,
a fancy dress.
Have we just guessworked?
No, that is Dreamland. I did one of the fancy dress days out with my goddaughter, and we did Zombieland, and we were there, and they kept going, oh, we want to win one of them toys, and one of the things where you have to throw a ball and knock over these cans, and it's all carny are shit, so it's normally rigged and you can't. It's hard to win. And we're waiting for ages because these two really loud women in front of us were having loads of goes and really wanted to do it. And they stopped and they said, "Oh, you can have a go in between. Like, we'll pause." And I went, "Oh, you'll get it now." So I paid for three balls. First one just smashed it. Smashed it over. Yes. And got one of these big toys. And I was like, "All right, I'm going to chip off." They'd literally been going for ages. But brilliant. I'm not always good on them things. It's one of them things that's perfect when it's in their moments. But that escape room was great.
Yeah, it was
fun, wasn't it? We've done a couple of them now, and I really...
Well, we did the Den of Thieves one as well. Yeah, we did the Den of Thieves ones as well. Yeah. I just think that is something that I it is a sport for me, those escape rooms.
They're great
fun. I could do that every month, easy. Yeah. I think it's creative. I think it's an opportunity. People can set them up as businesses quite easily. Not easily. I think it's hard and it takes work, but I would find it easy because I think I'd find it so enjoyable, idea of creating a little world.
Yeah.
And there's a few others, a few little ones I might take you all on, actually.
It's such good fun, man. Because you missed the first one, didn't you?
We done one for all the hardcore listening guests. Susie Goge, Gail Porter, Jimmy Havoc,
Jess Megan, Rebecca,
and Jordan, and my wife. And we went up to... it was on the Thames, wasn't it?
It was on
the embankment. And so, no, was it part of Olympia? Oh, fuck knows. But it was by the same people that do... It was from the Z Events team that done the zombie apocalypse. When we done the zombie shootout. And it was great, wasn't it? We all done that. And I think it's one of them things that we done that... You got us on the Den of Thieves film special thing, didn't we? And that was Big Papa Jay come and
Mark Irvine.
And Mark came. Yeah. And that was great fun as well.
I find them ridiculously enjoyable. It's just a good way to spend an hour. And it's just, you get to get pissed off with each other.
Yeah.
And then enjoy each other and see who works in this situation and that situation. But Chris, I think, is good. And again, we're not fans of complimenting each other, but Chris seemed to be on both ones. Did great at the start. At that point where you're like, because again, what I like about the ones we've done is there's not an obvious, here's where you start.
Yeah.
It's just a room.
Mm.
And I found the first one on your birthday one, we literally, and I was like, oh, like I thought there would be something obvious.
It's literally not.
You have to start going through
books
or whatever. And I thought it might be because you'd done one before or just a logical mind. But I thought on them bits, Chris was particularly good.
Because he was with Mark and Sam and they'd never done one before either, had they?
I think it's the opposite, we beat you by quite a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we was in there, me and Carol.
Just to mention.
Me and Carol was in there with Justin Antonio. We were hungover and didn't have a fucking clue what they were doing.
But you made it out, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did get out. I mean, they did help you a lot, didn't they? Yeah, I think one of the people who worked there walked in and showed you the way out, basically.
It doesn't help that about 15 minutes before the time's up, you just hear your four mates go, "Hey!"
As we'd completed our room next door.
Did you hear them unlocking the door? You think, oh, fuck's sake.
Do you know what? When we did it with all our guests on the podcast, when we got out first, I walked over to his door and started screaming. And then I realised quite how unsportsmanly I looked. And I felt awful.
All these guests who don't know you that well. There's Chris.
But it's amazing, like, how angry that kind of thing. You just think, you fucking prick.
Yeah. But also on that trip, we completely fluked a really good curry house.
Oh, yes.
The one that you littered outside of.
Set his face on fire.
I might have accidentally set myself on fire. You guys, you really did show your bloody class. We were literally drinking beers outside.
Well, no, we'd done a proper Alan Partridge walk, didn't we, down the motorway.
Yeah, and then it was getting darker and longer.
Yeah, and we was in the middle. The Airbnb place that we stayed in was in the middle of nowhere, wasn't it? It was like a barn.
Yeah.
And we sort of decided we'd go out.
I'd looked on a map. I was like, oh, that's walkable. And you know I like a good walk.
And he was literally, if you've ever seen a Partridge episode where he's walking down the side of the motorway, that's exactly what it was. We ran out of path.
Goldfinger.
It was. And then we just literally just found, like, just an Indian restaurant, didn't we? Like, on the side. And it was like, should we just go in there? Yeah, all right. But we'd all took a beer for the row. So we was all standing in the car park, like, eight of us with tinnies. And there was all the other people in there eating, looking at us. We must have looked like such wrong ones, weren't we?
Because me and Carol, your wife, had said, oh, let's just... We'll leave our rubbish here with the intention of collecting it afterwards. But still, couldn't look scummier as we realised that the whole restaurant is looking out. Like, we're guys, like, and Chris wasn't having it. Chris was like, we can't just leave him here.
Whatever you're thinking, and I know my missus is very, very mindful with things like litter. Yeah,
exactly.
And as are you. But for anyone eating their dinner, we're fly tipping.
Yeah, completely. Completely. Yeah. We may as well be having a shit in the bush. Yeah.
So I accidentally burnt myself alive there. Well, I didn't. But this story has got absolutely blown out of all proportions.
That was the start of Justin and Antonius, or Antonia particularly, singling me out as the boring cunt because there was no response. Like, oh, we'll all get shots, and I was like, no, I'm okay, thank you. Because I'm 37, I don't need to get shots. I'm good, thanks. So I just kept. I'm comfortable passing on these things, and I didn't know her that well. And she was like, fucking hell, what's wrong with you? Like, no, I'm okay, thanks. But they got you a
did you say the same, Chris?
Yeah, no, the peer pressure had got to me. I'd had eight.
Yeah, and light them as well.
See, you had nine. And I blew out the flame. I always have trouble with flaming sambu because I've given myself severe burns on both hands. I've even got photographic evidence of that. Brilliant. When I've done that. And I blew the flame out and it all went in my face, didn't it?
It was great because it was like, as we've told many times, my DJ story of when I'm like, look at this. And then I pressed it and it just went to silence. Chris was like, oh, let's film it for Instagram. Yeah. So literally, we're like, all right, we'll film it. And you're like, smiling, then you blow and it just goes in your face. And then the video stops. It was just as it cut out as well.
Panic in case I actually killed myself. Although you guys don't like say it, like I set myself on fire. Like everyone listening to this is imagining like some scene out of like the A-Team, some guy on fire rolling out of a barn. So it was nothing like that.
We went to
an Indian restaurant the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, and they brought you a flaming sambuca because they didn't get our jokes. About a flaming sambuca and he bought one out. It's like, no, we didn't. Cheers.
Yeah, I said because it was Halloween themed. It had cobwebs everywhere, and I was like, this place needs
to be
clean.
You made me drink it, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Yeah, but you didn't set yourself
because he was driving.
Ah,
I was driving.
Responsibility,
and
people. Yeah, I think I'd had a pint already, so you know, can't kill yourself.
Well. Let's wrap the first episode up.
All right.
Where is that?
Oh, we're an hour. We're just over an hour.
Crumbs.
In the next one, I want to get. I think we're going to kick things off with Brett's hashtag troubles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was the funniest thing that happened this year.
Yeah.
We will talk about Chris's a willy in the next one, I reckon. Ooh. In the next one or the one after?
Maybe episode 3.
I want to get my Dartford story in.
We'll get your Dartford story in.
We must have done it now by now.
And then we'll see. Maybe we'll do some films and TV in the next one.
Mm.
And then in the one after, we'll do fights. Because it is nice that I get tons of messages from people saying, I've listened to you guys talk about MMA for hours and I'm not into it.
Yeah,
but it's still, because
yeah.
you're drunk and so excited about it, it's still engaging. So let's wait until we're a bit more drunk because there has been some events this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we will talk about Tyson Fury. Because, I also got some Facebook questions. So we'll start them in the next one as well. And one of them I know was, what do you feel about Tyson Fury at the moment? And we've discussed this a bit privately, so we'll get into that. So all of that in the next one. And then, we'll probably do a few more. So I'll see you in a bit.
Fancy a shot, Pip?
Nope.
I do.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Pits, the Scratched Pieces.
There we go. I feel we've remained relatively civil in part one. The thing I wanted to put to you all about Patreon, it's genuinely been doing my head in, so here's why. So I've got a Patreon, and it's $1 a month. You can pay more, but it's $1 a month to join, right? My problem is, I've got mates who are lovely. An example is 76, also previously known as Flame Jaw, also known as Stu Mangan, who produces the Hardcore Listing podcast and makes amazing beats and all sorts of stuff, has remixed speech development stuff in the past. He's got a Patreon. He pledged to me, right? So that's $1. Now, that's nice of him. I want to support him. If I pledge to him, that's also $1.
So neither of us are making any money, but Patreon is making money because they get a percentage of each pledge. And I just can't bring myself to do it. So when I've had mates or people I know pledge me, I can't bring myself to pledge them back because that means neither of us are helping each other. And all that's happening is we're giving some money to Patreon. I'd rather either I get the pleasure of giving them money or they get the pleasure of giving me money and supporting, or we don't pledge at all. I honestly can't come up with a solution because at the moment, if my mates that I want to support me, then we cancel out any support and don't support each other at all, but Patreon gets some money. It's really confusing. I should also tell you now, as a little secret, because it's at the end and people don't listen, on my Patreon, so after the drunk cast, after part four, the next morning, I woke up and I recorded a drunk cast hangover podcast. So it's going to be on my Patreon only. It's a 20-minute thing just kind of going over the night before, the night that was. So that'll be on Patreon. And also in the new year, as I mentioned in this episode, I'm going to be doing these Distraction Pieces podcast rewinds, where I just review, essentially, go over and talk about five episodes at a time, starting from number one. I'm going to be doing them on Patreon. I think that's going to be every third Monday of the month. And every first Monday of the month, I'm going to release a little spoken word piece. Because basically, I realised that my spoken word career, whilst it was a big part of my life, I realised that a lot of it was before I kind of took off. So most of this stuff, I performed to rooms of like 10, 20 people. And it was later that I was touring to multiple thousands of people. But I wasn't doing a lot of the other spoken word pieces. So what I'm going to do over Christmas, in the bit between Christmas and New Year, I'm going to sit down and spend a day going through my laptop and getting all my old spoken word pieces and recording a load of them. They might not be good, I can't promise, but I'll record them. And then I'm going to upload them the first Monday of each month. It'll probably start in Feb because we've got the drunk cast hangover this month in January and things like that. So it'll probably start in Feb, but then from Feb onwards, it'll be a spoken word piece on every first Monday of the month, and then the Distraction Pieces rewind every third Monday of the month. That's my loose plan. But yeah, it's $1 a month. You can pledge more if you think it's amazing value. But yeah, that's enough about that. Patreon.com/ScroobiusPip. That is about it. I will see you all in part two tomorrow. Ta-ta!
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.